The town where Jesus performed this miracle is called Nain, which is in the region of Galilee, north of Samaria. Luke also tells us a report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. So it goes, Nain is north, then comes Samaria, and south of Samaria, Judea. That phrase, all the surrounding country, can include all sorts of territory not limited to the border of Israel. It's easy to see why the news spread. Jesus raised a dead man. Young man, I say to you, arise. And with this word, the corpse was alive. His blood flows again. His lungs take in oxygen. He sits up and he speaks. Christ has given life by speaking. And he has given ecstatic joy to a widow who now has her only son back from the dead. This report spreads like wildfire all the way down to Judea and the surrounding country. This reveals the people were at least extremely interested in this man from Nazareth who can even raise the dead. We're no strangers to fast news, and we're not reliant only upon the word of mouth. The internet, television, these things are fine media for spreading information. Unfortunately, the news that spreads most often is not the gospel of Jesus, but headlines of fear, sleazy gossip, juicy rumors, and images not for Christian eyes. Christians are not immune to any of this stuff. Instead, the baptized believer deals with the temptation to read and look at things that only damage the faith. A diagnostic question for ourselves is, do we get excited and even zealous over Jesus and his saving goodness when we hear of it? Or is it sinful gossip that seizes our attention? What are we more inclined to spread? The saving gospel of Christ? Or that news that hurts our neighbor's reputation? There is wisdom to guarding your eyes from watching the wrong thing. Your ears from hearing speech that tears down. Saying no to gossip instead of leaning in to catch every word. Taking steps to guard what you take in is a pious work of any vigilant Christian, even if the piety itself does not save one from sin. But the chief point of this text today is God raising the dead by just a word. Wouldn't we all marvel during a funeral service if we bypassed the tears in the morning, even if we skipped the sermon? Just for the pastor to look at that dead corpse in the casket and say, rise, and the body would sit up and begin speaking. We would marvel at that. That kind of resurrection is coming. Your God will resurrect your physical body on the last day, and you will see him in uncorrupted flesh free from sin. But you know, even now, God gives life to the dead. Did you know that? To the Ephesians, when Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus, he says to these saints, quote, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Elsewhere in Luke's gospel, Jesus says these pointed words. He says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. My friends, it is entirely possible to be alive, walking, talking, even feeling healthy and spry, and yet be dead in the eyes of God. This happens when the dead sinner hears God's word, he hears about the forgiveness of sins in Christ, he hears the living word of God, the God who speaks salvation and eternal life into his ears because Jesus bore our sins. Our sins cannot condemn us because of Jesus' cross and blood. He hears this and says, no thanks. The living dead reject outright the gifts, the mercy, and the promises of God and rage against him. They blaspheme his Holy Spirit and they go the other direction. A word of caution. All of us are born with this desire. The desire, that is, to flee God and run to wickedness. If you have felt a powerful temptation for as long as you can remember, then your experience battling that temptation shouldn't be a surprise. And it is consistent with biblical teaching and understanding of just how powerful and pervasive the sinful nature is. Sin kills. Sin kills, and we were all born with it. In just 5 years of being in the office of the Holy Ministry, already I've heard umpteen excuses over why people habitually stay away from church. But the core reason, is always that sinful nature by which we are inclined to reject God's gifts because we really think we don't need them. And when I say the word gifts, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the gift of Christ and his holy word, a word that echoes in the church today. His word is preached. His word is uttered in baptism and his holy supper. Jesus spoke his word and this young man arose. That word of Jesus reverberates in the church today. We hear it in Scripture. We hear it proclaimed by faithful men put into the office. God speaks forgiveness to his people still as his promise of mercy and his promise of grace continues for his people. By the gift of Jesus hanging, suffering, and dying on a bloody Roman cross, your sins, all of them are accounted for. Your sinful flesh has been redeemed of sin, and God even calls you a new creation. The old has passed, and you are alive. You are new in Christ. This newness isn't God saying you're going to physically improve over time. Quite the opposite. Our flesh withers and decays with each passing day. But this newness is the newness of God having declared you clean of sin, innocent, forgiven, because his only begotten Son bore your sin and shed his blood to make you his kingdom. And if you think God does not have compassion and that God does not see your plight, the gospel today reveals quite the opposite. Jesus sees this widow, and she has no one to provide for her. She has no husband. And now she has no son. She is alone. But God sees her. And just by seeing her, the text says, he has compassion. God sees her tears. God sees her pain. This is what the psalmist says when he prays to God these words. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? My friends in Christ Jesus, God sees your tears. He sees the sins that cause you to mourn, the tragedies that wreck your life. He sees your pain over loved ones who have left us. Even the hairs on your head are numbered by your compassionate Savior who stops at nothing to bring you true joy and true peace. Christ Jesus gives you that peace. A peace that makes you alive before God and dead to sin. You are dead to sin, baptized into that name above all names, the name of Jesus, the name of life eternal. You are washed. You are forgiven. You have peace with your Heavenly Father. You have peace with your God in Christ who raises the dead. This message will continue to go forth. God will make sure of it. And this message will kindle faith when and where it pleases God. Let us pray. Let us pray that we have ears to hear this word always and believe it. Go forth in God's joy Your sin is put away. In Christ, you live. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen.